you were at the Masters. We'll get to that in just a bit. But I wanted to ask you if you happen to see your U.S. Olympic curling gold medal guys throw out the first pitch at the Twins game the other day.
Yeah. Some finely tuned athletes there.
I'm looking at it right now. So they line up five across, one guy on the mound. I'm guessing that's our dude that, you know.
That's the skip.
The skip, yeah. So yeah. Also five catchers lined up. So the skip throws it not to his catcher directly by home plate. He throws it to the catcher to the left of him. So he goes diving out of the way. The catcher behind home plate buries his head in his arm. I mean, this is just a calamity.
Yeah, these are people that are, I mean, the sport is to precisely move one object from about the pitcher's mounds to, like, you know, I know it's a different object and there's different forms involved, but, you know, I mean, it's not like they're, like, an equestrian or something. So, you know, these are our guys. I'm thinking alcohol probably was involved.
No doubt.
You know. God bless them. We need gold medalists for the rest of us.
So, Dan, I went to the Masters for the first time. I'd never been. I was there on Thursday, and I was actually in the gallery that Tiger Woods hit on 11, which I came away. I told Dawn. She was like, how was the Masters? I was like, outside of Tiger trying to kill me, it was pretty good. But I wasn't there when Sergio had his 10-cup moment. And so five approach shots from the fairway, five times in the water on 15. I really wanted him to hold the club up victoriously when that sixth attempt failed to go in the water.
It was pretty awesome. I was standing fortuitously. I was on the 15th fairway, which is adjacent to the 13th fairway. And I was waiting for, I think it was Tiger, to come up 15. And you hear a groan, but nobody really cares that Sergio put it in the drink. And then all of a sudden you hear another groan. It's a little louder. And I kind of look over, and then you hear a third, like, groan and laughter. And I go, I kind of walk over. And I'm up the fairway, and Bubba Watson and Jason Day are there. They're playing behind him, and they're backed up because Sergio can't hit it on the green. And they're laughing at this point, talking and shrugging, like, how many has he got in there? And then in goes another, and the place is going crazy. And then in goes another, and he's hitting him on the green, but it's like he's putting the spin back. It's not quite tin cup. It's a little more skilled than that, but pretty good. Yeah, then he finally hits this thing. And it's to me, it was the ultimate Sergio moment because, A, you know, his previous round, he wins the Masters. It's, you know, the Sunday the year before. Then he puts a 13 up. He cards a 13 on 15, highest score ever. Then afterwards he says, "This is the first time I've scored 13 without hitting a bad shot."
Yeah, that's what he said. Like, because yeah. The natural question is, why wouldn't you try a club lower? He was like, I kept hitting good shots.
But any of us who stink at golf have had that same theory. Like, yeah, I scored 13, but I wasn't even that bad. And then my favorite, you know how those hand-operated scoreboards are there?
Yeah.
So one of them, they actually put up your score, like you put a 4, you put a 5, whatever you got. And they didn't have a 13, so they had to hand-write one.
Oh, no.
And until they could make one. Of course, the Masters quickly made an official 13. So it fit in with the others, but yeah, they had no 13. So the scoreboard operators were fluxing. And I imagine that call in, like, Sergio got a 13 on 15. Wait, what? Can you repeat that?
Yeah, we need a 13.
I've been running this board for 58 years here. So God bless Sergio.
Oh my goodness, Dan, you wrote a good piece about Patrick Reed winning it all. Curious, in person, because you watch it on TV and it sounded deathly quiet when he's walking up to 18. When you're there, was it obvious how much people dislike Patrick Reed?
It really was. I mean, there was some cheering.
Yeah.
But
courtesy?
Golf fans will cheer anything.
Right.
It's the only sport where if you're rooting for one guy and the guy who's going against him hits a great shot, they cheer. Like, no one goes, awesome, LeBron. Great buzzer beater. That was so great that you beat us. I am so happy. Congratulations. Nobody does that in any other sport. Golf, they cheer for everything. So there was some cheering, but it was like, wow, this is subdued. I don't know exactly how many Masters I've been to, but it's like maybe like 12 or something. And I mean, I've seen the crowd go crazy for Charles Schwartzel, for Danny Willett. They cheer wildly, let alone when Phil or Jordan Spieth or somebody like that gets it. And here's a guy, he's an American, he's 27, it's his first Masters. He led Augusta State, which is in Augusta, interestingly, to two national titles. And they just sort of kind of applauded and packed up their things. They didn't like him. It was the most subdued Masters 18th hole I've ever seen. And it's amazing because I don't really get it. And, you know, I get you have different sensibilities in other different sports. And I also cover the UFC where, like, attacking a bus is considered, you know, maybe the borderline of acceptable behavior. So
it's right on that line, though. Right,
yeah,
on that
right
line.
On, right on that. I mean, he ain't getting suspended yet, you know. I mean, right. It's right on the line. So, like, he's a little rude on the driving range. Doesn't really usually equate with me, but apparently the golf fans are upset about this, and they just wanted no part of Patrick Reed, which I actually think is now great. Like, we got a little salt in the water here in golf.
Got to heal.
And, yeah, we need a guy that's the people don't like, or you could not, now I'm going to like him. You need the anti-hero. So, really weird day, though, because, you know, I kind of felt bad for him. I mean, you expect if you're going to win the Masters, the place is going to go crazy for you. And you know, he said it was like a Ryder Cup where they applauded when you made a good shot, but they really applauded when Rory made a good shot. Or he could hear the roars from elsewhere, and he never got those roars.
Also interesting, Nike didn't even let him wear red. He had to show up in pink. He didn't get to dress like Tiger since Tiger
terrible.
Was there, I guess.
That was terrible, yeah.
Is Nike, that true?
That's true. They made everybody wear pink except Tiger. Everybody had to wear the same color all week, which I didn't like, because when you're watching, particularly when you're flicking back and forth on TV, you know, they're showing, you're like, oh, is that, did Reed just hit that in the bunker? Oh, no, that's Justin Thomas. Okay. I don't care. I mean, I'm not that perceptive. I need help. I need the colors. Like, so everybody had, anyway, they made everyone wear pink because it would match the azaleas. That was their theory. And then Tiger, though, got to break the rules, of course, and wear red. But this was clearly, they don't want Patrick Reed moving in on Tiger's red thing. So, but at least he won, and Tiger got to wear his red, I guess, come in 32nd.
It was kind of a strange tournament, but it was a spectacular performance by Reed, though. I mean, you know, Ricky Fowler throws up a minus 14 and doesn't win.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Reed was awesome. Yeah, Fowler 14 under, and I mean, the record is 18. I think that's a top 10 score all time. I don't know whether it's quite that, but it's pretty close. And yeah, he didn't win, and he never led, and he never even tied. At no point did he have a share of the lead. So that's how well Reed played. He took the lead on Friday, and he is a supremely confident guy. There's no question. I do get why some of the other golfers kind of roll their eyes at him. But he played some incredible golf. He basically won it on Friday and Saturday, and then said, "Hey, come catch me if you can." And no one really could. I mean, Spieth got there, but then he backed off. But all he had to do was play one under on Sunday to win it. And he played incredible golf. And what I love about Reed is he just never lets up with the confidence. He kept calling his victory "my first green jacket."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that is awesome. That
like
is awesome.
There's more to come.
There's more to come. Yeah, this is my first green jacket. So I love that. But they, you know, the other golfers don't like him. He's definitely an oddball guy. But I don't know why fans are so down on him. It's not like he's like committed crimes or like abusive or anything, or even got into it with the fans. He's just a loner with a little bit of arrogance.
He's the anti-establishment.
He is, and they need that. It's, you know, these guys, they make so much money now, and there's so many talented players, and that's the talent level is incredible. It's really impossible to win week in, week out. All these guys in their 20s. But it's almost too easy for them to sort of just, hey, I'm going to make $10 million this year in prize money alone, and we're all just going to pass the baton around. And it's not that they're not trying to win, because they are. It's competitive. But the idea that there's a little, you know, a little anger there, or a little over-the-top competitiveness, I think will be great for golf as we get in this stretch, because there are just, there are so, you know, three of the top four are under 24. You know, Reed's 27, Rory's 28. You just got all these guys. I mean, like Bubba's old and he's 33. I mean, there's so many guys in the prime of their career or getting to the prime that it's just a really competitive era for golf.
Ricky Fowler, 29 years old. Does he win his first major this year? He seemed different after the Masters than maybe his other near misses.
Well, he was like really excited at how well he did.
Yeah.
And that kind of struck me as odd. Like his family was all celebrating and he did. He played a great round. I don't know whether you have to have this, you know, I'm infuriated, I lost mentality to win one of these things or not, because I don't know. We've seen guys, you know, Angel Cabrera has won majors and he's just sort of hanging out smoking on the course, you know, like he's like, you know, he grew up like poor in Argentina, had to golf for food. He just doesn't really care. So he wins, he doesn't. So I don't really subscribe to you have to be, you know, Tiger and you know, and second place is just first loser. But I don't know that he's certainly talented enough. I don't know that he has that. Did he put up that big number yesterday because he wasn't in the lead? I don't know. I mean, basically, you got a guy who's that good, eventually his number's going to come up and he's going to win one of these things. But like you said, I mean, 14 under and you don't win, that's a tough, you're going to sit back one day and go, gosh, how did I not win the Masters with 14 under?
Birdie on 18 too. Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, at Dan Wetzel on Twitter. Dan, what was your takeaway from Tiger's return to Augusta?
Well, actually, I'd be interested to hear yours since you were there kind of as a fan. I thought it was if you take out the hype of he's back and he's the favorite, which is, I just thought was ridiculous. I thought it was highly successful. Fans want to see him play golf. They want to follow him around. He creates energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what this is about. Like, there's nobody who watched him play, I thought, these four rounds that sat there and said, boy, I wish he wasn't here. Like, people were jacked up to see him. And he had this huge gallery, and they had fun, and he made the cut, and he wasn't that bad, you know. And I think by that standard, it's a great success because he's in his 40s, and he is, you know, he is what he is. By the standard of, oh, he's the favorite, there's just too many talented young golfers. Like, that is an absolute cutthroat leaderboard. If you look at all those guys that were putting up numbers and making runs yesterday and still couldn't get to Reed, the idea that a 42-year-old is going to beat that field, just going to walk in and do it, it was just crazy. I did not get this whole bit. Wow, he finished second at the Valspar Open, so Tiger's back. Look out, he's going to win this. I don't know that he ever has that in him, and I think that's okay. You know, from age 42 to 47, Phil Mickelson won one golf tournament. He was relevant a lot. He contended a lot. He was a good player, but he wasn't winning majors, and he wasn't, he wasn't winning week in, week out. Now, Tiger is a little better than Phil, but not a ton better. And I think that's where you have to look at his career going forward at this age and against this level of competition that we have now. Okay, he's going to be relevant a lot, but he's not just walking back in and winning. He hasn't won the Masters in since 2005, you know, so why do we just think he can do this? So I guess it's a mixed bag of what's reality-based. I thought he was fine. Perception-wise, no. But you were there. I mean, how excited were people just to see him play, right?
Well, I mean, we went to 11 about three groups before he came through there, and that was really the only way to see him, I think, because so many people were following him around. And that was kind of wild to see what was the amount of people coming with him. And, you know, so he hits it into the gallery where I was standing on 11, and he was not happy at all. And he held the club that he had used on that shot above his head and looked like he was going to slam it into his bag. But something stopped him from doing that, and he just kind of set it down. And then he hit his next shot, and, you know, he bogeyed 11, bogeyed 12, so there was carry over there. And I think that's the point where he felt like he probably had, you know, lost the tournament. And you know, at that point, I think your goals changed. But I think where perception changed is where he had the comment before the tournament, I'm going there to win. Which is nothing different. Yeah, there's nothing different there than any other, you know, athlete who has that kind of confidence. And if you don't think you're going to win, then why play? But, you know, in terms of being the favorite, I mean, Vegas is going to do that because so many people are going to put money on him.
Right. That's what's going to happen. And, I mean, not only that. I mean, I talked to him after he came off the after 36 holes on Friday, and he said, hey, couple rounds in the mid-60s, I'm right back in this thing, never know.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, I think I know. You know, I mean, good luck to you. I mean, believe me, nobody, I'm an internet sports columnist. I want Tiger Woods to win, okay? But, you know, I'm not sure I'm seeing 64, 65 out of you. So, that, you know, but that's kind of his thing. That's where he, shut the door. Sorry, my daughter got out of the car. quality radio here. You know, but so he's his own worst enemy with that. But again, he's supposed to believe whatever. I don't mind. I just think he, there are so many good golfers right now. His problem is he inspired all these kids. I mean, you just look at these guys and you're like, geez. I mean, they're all in their 20s. And or 35 and under, and they're just loaded with guys. And so it's not just that he has to put together four great rounds. He has to make sure somebody else doesn't put four greater ones. And that's what got Fowler. That's what got Spieth's 13 under. Spieth played Thursday and Sunday as well as you can possibly play Augusta National. And he didn't win because he wasn't good on the front nine on Friday morning. You know, Rahm made a ton of great shots to get back in it. All the different guys that were in this thing, and that's like, how do you get over all those guys? He can't just that's how he's got to do it at every single major. So maybe it happens. You know, it'd be great story to see that. But the level of competition is just so significant that it you can't just snap your fingers and say, "Oh, I'll just play some good golf. I'm back." It's like, yeah, but all the other guys are already here.
Great stuff, Dan. Appreciate the perspective, man.
Anytime. Talk to you guys soon.